Los Angeles, the Wildcats, and you are here live with us. How you doing, young man?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Put that a little bit closer. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
All right, Ahmad, your clock is ticking. This is it, right?
Yes, sir. This is it. This is the chance that I've been waiting for. Had some learning experiences early on, and I'm just grateful for a second opportunity, though.
What did you learn the most about your first foray into professional football and what you needed to do better?
Number one thing that I learned the most was just pretty much learning how to be a professional. It's different than just growing up playing ball. There's more to it than just the on-the-field things that a lot of people see. And it was the off-the-field things that I had to learn, and not just that, but a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's an everyday thing, every second thing. It's not just something that you can do when the lights are on or when you're on the practice field. It's something that you have to literally live by every day, second by second, minute by minute.
Why did you not know that before?
Because I've always just been stuck in my own world. It's being a kid from Waco, staying in Waco, never really learning anything outside of Waco. I just got stuck into the Waco mindset of I'm at home, I can do what I want to do, be how I want to be. But it's not that way when you get outside of the walls that you're used to. And you have to learn the ways of whatever nature that you're in. So, you have to learn how to adapt pretty much.
Was your first job being in Dallas, was that ultimately not a good thing for you because you were so close to her? Did you need to be further away a little bit? Or
Now looking back on the situation, I would say I would, but the only reason why I say I wouldn't is because the things that I got to learn. Mm-hmm. It was things that I learned about myself, things that I learned about the people that I had around me, things that would just help me become a man. And it was things that I learned while I was in Dallas that I feel like I wouldn't have learned if I would have been anywhere else. And it was things that after leaving Dallas and being put back home and back in this familiar place, a lot of things that I had to readjust and learn how to do differently.
Sometimes when you're a player like yourself or someone who has an opportunity, whether it's an athlete, an entertainer, which could be a musician or an actor or an actress or someone like that, there are people who you knew when you were growing up that are happy for you and they're excited for you and they're proud of you, but they don't want you to be successful. Did you have to deal with that too?
Yeah. I mean, it's you deal with that a lot, especially coming from where I come from. So it's tough to not – I mean, I don't really want to just go deep into that, but I had to deal with a lot of that. A lot of people – that were around me, a lot of people that I felt like were friends, felt like was family to me. They really weren't. They were just all along for the ride, for the show, to see what they could get out of it. But and that's why I say I wouldn't change my situation for anything, because the things that I learned while I've been out of football these past 3.5-4 years, it showed me so much about, like I said, myself and the people around me. So once I learned that, and I feel like that'll be the biggest thing for me going back into this journey again, because I have such a big heart. But now I know how to use that big heart of mine.
When this XFL came around, how did you get involved? What was the conversations? How did this before the draft come about of you getting reintroduced to folks in that world?
It kind of just happened. I come from a family of faith. People that know me know mm-hmm. my dad's a pastor, and so. It was more so of a thing of just praying to God and just being patient and just waiting on my time. I mean, I went to Canada for 1 year. I got released, went back again, got released again. And I really didn't understand how a guy of my caliber, not just my accolades, but of my ability, cannot have a job right now. And it's no shot to nobody, but I still feel like I can go out there and I can be the best in the NFL on any level. So it was kind of humbling to go through it that way. But I just had faith, and next thing you know, I just got an email one day. Agent didn't call or nobody called. Just opened my email one day after praying to God for some type of second chance, some type of way to go out here and show that I can do what God blessed me to do, but also do it the way that they want it done.
You have not put on pads in 3.5, 4 years?
3.5, 4 years.
Can you still play?
Can I still play? That's the question that a lot of people ask me. It's the thing about football is it's not about the physical side. When you become a pro, that's the thing that you learn. It's 10% physical, 90% mental. So the thing is, that the thing that I've learned is the body will do whatever the mind tells it to do. So, and that's another thing that I learned through this journey. The only way I can get my body to get back in the form that I needed to get back in is I have to get my mind together. I have to have my mind right. My mind can't be on things that don't matter. I have to have my mind strictly on things that I can control, and that's it.
Can you do that in Waco?
Can I do that in Waco? Yes, sir, I can. And I've grown to learn, and that's the greatest thing of this whole journey is the growth in me and the things that I've learned throughout all of this. And it hurt at a time, but, I mean, now that I've come to the light at the end of this dark tunnel, I'm all grateful for it. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Did you ever give up on yourself? Did you ever at any time say, I'll never play again?
You want to know the truth?
Yeah, that's why I asked you. You and I have known each other a long time, man.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I did. And I even had a sit down with my dad and my mom, and I just told him, I don't know. I really don't know what to do now. I don't know where to turn. I hit that point at probably year two and a half of not playing. No workouts, no phone calls, no anything. And not only all of that going on, still and then dealing with some legal stuff, being arrested and all of that kind of stuff. So it kind of made me just wonder what can happen. And I kind of just felt like, well, I see these guys getting drafted every year by year, and they're just younger and younger guys. I'm not getting younger. I'm getting older. So the thing was, like I said, my parents, we have faith. And I talked to my parents about it. My mother and my father both told me, say, son, you just pray to God, and you ask God for whatever it is that you want, and you give it to him, and you allow him to take his course. You don't worry about how long it's going to take. You don't worry about how it's going to done. You just leave it in his hands, and voila. Thanks be to God.
Yeah. We talked to Larry Rose yesterday, and he's, your teammate now in the Wildcats, and said he was excited to work out with you, and you're going to go out with some familiar faces. What do you think the thing that you're going to have to work on physically between now and then the most is?
The one thing that I've been trying to deal with is the workload, trying to keep the hard work on my body just so my body can understand that when it's time to go, you got to get right back in there and go. And it's not a time to crawl. It's not a time to walk. You got to get right in there and just start running. So that's the toughest thing that I'm trying to adjust my body to get in tune with and be ready for that contact, that collision every play that I put myself in that situation. And that's pretty much it.
Ahmad Dixon, Katie Cannon, we mentioned Larry Rose, Sean Oakman. Man, these are some journeys, and some of them have been in the darkest places you could ever possibly be.
Right.
Some of them have been where, you know, a lot of people, no matter what anyone may think of the opportunities that you blew, that may not believe in you or not, but you still have, you have this. You want to do this.
Right.
Don't be a statistic, man. This is your chance, right?
Yes, sir.
This is your chance. And you realize how much people can learn from your journey if this works out for you?
Yes, sir. And that's the whole objective of this. Me and my dad and our church, we have a little league organization, and it's called the Saints. And the name, the reason why we picked the Saints, we made it into an acronym, and we changed it to Serving Adolescents in Need of Today's Society. So that's pretty much why I do this, for these young kids that I'm around every day that's looking for a way out of here, to that they're trying to figure out, how can this be done? Can it be done? And looking back on it, a lot of these young kids nowadays don't know the past guys that have went to the NFL. LaDainian Thompson, Derrick Johnson, Paris Cox, they don't know those guys. So me being a guy that's still around and that has a influence on these young guys. I use my story for that. I use that to let them know what to do, what not to do, how to do it, and just try to let them know that no matter what you do, no matter what goes on, keep going. Keep going, keep trying, keep striving. Because at the end of the day, no matter what, you never know what can happen. All it takes is just one person to have faith in you. And I'm a true believer of that. I mean, I'm a testimony of that.
Did the Wildcats say anything to you? What if you have contact with them other than the fact you know you're going to go and play for them? Has anyone contacted you, told you that you have about a month and a half, 2 months before you show up?
Yes, sir.
And what are you going to do between now and then?
Yes, sir. When I talk to them, first thing first, they just let me know. We're expecting you to come in here and do what you do. Be that physical guy that you are. And so, I mean, that's really it. Like I say, it's been three and a half, four years almost of not playing. So that's the test that I put on myself. You have to go out there and give them what they want. But you haven't done what they want in 3 to 4 years.
Long time, man.
It's been a long time. So it's a test, it's a trial, but I mean it's not something that I'm gonna run from. It's something that I'm embracing, and like I say, I know I got the good Lord behind me, and I know I can do anything with him.
Have you watched Chris Miller at Baylor play safety? Have you watched them?
I honestly no. To be honest with you, I'm still a little.
You're still.
I'm still a little. I'm still trying to adapt to the whole thing. But I mean, I keep up with them through statistics and so. But directly, no. I don't know exactly who he is.
He's a little bit cut from your.
He's
your cloth.
I think I don't know about the size. What did you play at? What was your weight?
I was about 6 foot. 210, 215.
He's a little bit smaller, I think, size-wise than you are, but he hits people from the safety position. When he first started, he had no idea where he knew where he was supposed to go, but he didn't always get there, and he always but I'm talking about he runs around and hits people at the safety position, and it reminds me of you.
Wow.
I'm not saying he's close, but because you got to an all-conference level, but he's fearless, and, well, I mean – it almost is frightening how hard he comes up and hits people because he didn't know initially where he was supposed to go. And you can relate to that as well.
Definitely. I mean, playing that position back there, I only really got to play it 1 year fully in college. So the things that I learned in that 1 year, man, it's a blessing and a curse because, you're the last line of defense. But you're still held accountable to make that play regardless.
You're in Waco. This is where you were all your life. You played at Midway, and you then play at Baylor, and you then go to the Cowboys. All this has been within an hour and a half of each other, and now you're back, and you're trying to get this an opportunity here, and you can't even enjoy your alma mater trying to resurrect yourself. How difficult is that for you?
It's very difficult. It's like you said, I grew up here, so to actually see Baylor grow into what it grew into and to see Baylor take the fall that it took, not just from the football side, but just the whole culture of Baylor. And growing up here, I mean, you seen how divided it was from the school and the community. And to see it almost get to that point again, it hurt. It hurt a lot because that Art Briles era bridged that gap where it was okay for the local people to come over to campus and we all embrace each other and enjoy each other, and vice versa. The Baylor guys and the Baylor students can go out to the community and we embrace each other. But now it's due to that situation that happened, it's kind of like it's just a dark cloud over it, and they just the students just want to stay in Baylor area where. Well, it's a lot out here in Waco, and the community wants to stay behind Baylor.
Will winning help that? They're starting. If they continue, well, winning, because that's what helped. That's what. Listen, let's be honest, man. Winning, people get their butts in the seat.
Winning does a lot. It does help a lot, but honestly, and this is all honest, the thing that bridged that gap was the fact that we had guys that were not just from here, and they were from areas that were close to here. So it was a lot of people that were close to each other. It was more of a family feel. It wasn't just, hey, that's the team we're rooting for, or those are the guys we're going to go watch on Saturday. If you, I mean, any guy that can tell you when they played in the Art Briles era that no matter where they went, no matter who they dealt with, if you had a Baylor football shirt on, you were family to anybody that you seen, no matter the race, gender, no matter what it was, you were family. And like now, it's kind of like those guys that are here now don't really understand that the community is behind you. You don't have to just be secluded on that campus. You don't have to just stay there. You can come out and enjoy yourself in the city. And so it's kind of tough to see that it's not that the city, that the community and the school aren't really embracing each other or not really involved in, with each other like it was at first. And that's something that hurts me being a guy from here and that really seen that gap be bridged.
What's been your darkest hour?
Okay, so you mean in a football sense or in life?
Life.
In life. Darkest hour. It came at a time, I have two children. My first son, his mother moved him away from me. And that happened after I had been released and after I had not had really any contact with football. And so my only thing that I felt like I had at that time was my child. And his mother moved him away, and it hurt me because at that time I'm like, well, now everything that I've ever had is gone. Everything that I've ever worked for is gone. Anything that I can say is mine is gone. So it brought me to a place to where I really had to do a lot of soul searching. And I had to ask myself a lot of serious man-to-man questions that I truly believe a lot of men wouldn't ask themselves. And so in that hour, I had no choice but to just fall back on what I know, and that's just to pray to God. God, give me some type of answer, some type of way, something, anything to show me that you're not just letting me fall. You're not just letting me just become just another statistic, as people would call it. And that was my biggest fear, was becoming a statistic. And I really didn't understand how I was going to get out of this, how I was going to get out of that dark place, because it drove me to some really to a really dark side of myself, to where I found myself thinking in a way that I would never think, just looking at things in a way I would never look at things, and it almost made me start feeling sorry for myself, as if I didn't do this to myself, and play the blame game. Well, it's this person's fault, it's that person's fault, when in reality it was nobody's fault. It was just a matter of learning and growing up and maturing in life. My parents did a great job of raising us. They didn't really allow too much negativity to hit us. They shielded us from a lot of things. So a lot of things that happened to me and a lot of things that I dealt with happened when I got older, when I got into that prominent place in my life where I felt like I couldn't be touched.
So, untouchable, bulletproof.
Bulletproof, yeah. And so and it made me be so wide open to where anything that happened, it affected me emotionally, physically, mentally, like no matter what. That's how low and that's how dark of a place I was in, to where if I stump my toe, literally if I stump my toe, my whole day is ruined just because I stumped my toe.
That you wish that was the only thing you've ever had to deal with, right? I mean, we haven't talked to them. We've on occasion shared. You sent me an email like 2 or 3 days ago. Hey, I'm coming back, and I wanted you to know. And then yeah. The next day you're drafted. Listen, one thing about it is all of us are human.
Yes, sir.
You've made some mistakes. The thing about mistakes that some people make that nobody will ever know about, and then there are some mistakes that everybody knows about. And, right. And you have had to defend yourself on social media, which is sometimes a dangerous thing to do.
Right.
And it's got to be. I mean, there have been things you've done that were not very smart.
Right, right.
Then look in the mirror. Everyone can do that. And then there's also things that you've done that you were accused of that you did not do.
Right.
So you had it all coming from different directions, but a lot of it was your own fault. I mean,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of it was just wrong place, wrong time, wrong crowd, and not just being aware of not just my surroundings, but being aware of the opportunity. And that's the number one thing that I know for a fact that a lot of young guys, a lot of athletes, a lot of people, period, don't take advantage of is opportunity. And a lot of people don't understand that the window for opportunity are very small, no matter what field you're in, no matter what you're doing, whether it's being an athlete, a doctor, or a lawyer, whatever it is, your window for opportunity is small. So you have to take whatever opportunity you have and make the best of it, no matter what hand you're dealt. I mean, I can speak on that from going from when I started playing football all the way up to now. I mean, I've always been dealt an unusual hand of cards every time, no matter what level I've been on. So, I mean, it's just a matter of taking that opportunity. You can't be scared. You got to take it.
Yeah. Do you go ahead, Paul?
Well, we all wish that our older brains could go in our younger bodies. I mean, like, honestly, I'm sure you think about that right now. Like, put this brain in your 22-year-old body, and
right.
And you'd be
like an 8-year all pro.
Pro, about $100 million.
Yeah. I asked you the question that are do you think you can still play? And the look you gave me, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a question. That's a legitimate question.
Legit question.
Are you playing because you love football, or are you playing because you might get a check?
I'm playing because I love this. It didn't do anything. Me being away from it didn't do anything but make me hunger for it, wanted more than anything. And the reason why I say that is because it was taken away from me at a time where I felt like it shouldn't have been. I felt like, oh, I'm here being what I'm supposed to be. But then at the end of the day, the lesson was learned. And so that's why, man, I thinking about it brings tears to my eyes. It's that deep to me, because I've done this my whole life. I've helped my family with this. And to do it at this level and to think that, oh, if I go out here and play, I'll get this check. It wouldn't even feel right. I don't think I would even be able to play.
You get hurt?
Yeah.
You might get hurt.
And so, I mean, this is all love. Even anything dealing with football, I'm passionate about. Like I say, we have a little league organization, and all of my kids that play on in our organization will tell you Coach Dixon is one of the most amped up coaches every day at practice, at the games, all of that. I mean, I truly love this game because of the things that I know it can teach you, the things that I know it can help you with in life, the things that I know that it can bring you to in life. So, I mean, it's true, a true divine love for this game.
There's so many things we had to catch up with you, and we could talk for a long, long time, and we have to move on. I know you do as well.
Yes, sir.
You're going to go to L.A. A lot of distractions in Los Angeles, Ahmad.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready for that?
Yes, sir. And like I say, I feel like that's what this – my journey prepared me for this, to be able to be in a very radical and mixed environment, but still be able to stay focused and still be able to do what I'm here to do. And my one job is to go out and play. I'm not there to party. I'm not there to really truly make friends. I'm not there to do anything. I'm here to play, and I'm here to do what my team, my coaches, they asked me to do, and just be the best player that I can be. That's all I'm there to do, and that's all I'm going to do.
I hope that you can have the same kind of happiness when you had a child. I hope you can get that happiness again when you used to play at a level that was all conference and all American almost, or winning conference titles. I hope you also will have the emotions of happiness of what you had at Rudy's. I know at VTex that day when Jerry Jones called you.
Yes, sir. All right, man, that emotion is there times 10. It's not just a show. I mean, that's me. I love this. That emotion has not left. And that's what I'm ready to give to the L.A. Wildcats, definitely.
Go enjoy your life. Enjoy your new opportunity.
Yes, sir.
Take advantage of it, man. We're happy for you. There's a lot of people that don't believe you. But you know what? As long as you believe you, isn't that all that matters?
That's all that matters. That's
really
all that matters.
It's and the big boy. Yeah, the
and,
big
and
guy.
And the man upstairs.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Good luck, man. I hope this allowed you to kind of unwind a little bit and vent a little bit and get some emotions out as well.
Yes, sir.
We'll give you a big hug when we leave. Hold on just a second. Ahmad Dixon, of the Los Angeles Wildcats in the XFL. This is